buried emotions never die. They are alive and will raise their ugly heads in the most inconvenient and surprising ways and times in your life. My name is Dr. Randy Carlson, along with Jennifer and Stephen right here in our Intentional Living Center. And we believe, because we've seen it, observed it, and understand Scripture, that those who understand and use their emotions to grow will grow stronger, wiser, and more successfully in every area of their lives. Three things that we focus on: head, heart, and hand, how we think. The Bible says, take captive every thought out of obedience to Christ. The habits in our life, boy, the Bible's clear on how we should be living our lives, including the fruit of the Spirit and other things on how we live daily. And then, of course, emotions, where Paul says, be angry. But hey, guys and ladies, don't let that turn to sin. Be angry, do not sin. And so we know emotions are a part of life. They're important. They're powerful. But they can also be very troubling when it comes to how it impacts our relationships. So today, some help from stories of people who've said, hey, been there, struggled with emotions. Here's what I've learned. Here's what God's doing. You're welcome to share your story at 888-888-1717 on our storyline. We were talking about this last week, and when I ended the show, I ran out of time, and I was talking to Joni in Georgia, and she was so articulate in sharing her own experience, we invited her to join us again today. So, Joni, are you back on the line with me?
Yes, Dr. Randy, thank you.
Well, thank you for allowing us to get back in touch with you. For those who didn't hear last week, tell me a little bit, or just kind of rehearse again your story. What did you experience with your kids that led you to realize, as you said, I'm broken?
I homeschooled six children, and I tried to protect, I thought, would be the word I would use back then, but today I would say control. I tried to control them as much as I could, not really realizing that's what I was doing, thinking I had to protect them because I had been sexually abused when I was young, never wanted anything like that to happen to my children. And so, of course, you go to the opposite extreme, so that's what I did. And then when all I ever wanted my children to do was love Jesus with all their heart and soul. And I went about that, but not realizing I went about it the wrong way. Very much legalistic, you know, if you do all the right things, then, you know, God loves you. It wasn't love and mercy and grace. Yeah. And for that, I'm very sorry, but I have talked to them and told all of them that I'm sorry. And the Lord keeps telling me, Joni, quit looking back, but I can see God doing abundant. He's working immensely in my family. And what I've learned is if you try and control things, God will literally take it all out of your hands and you'll see how broken you are. And I've given in and given up, and he's doing a great thing.
Amen. So tell me, how have your kids responded or reacted or responded to this, hey, aha moment for mom over these last number of months or years in your life?
I think the ones that aren't walking with the Lord, like my daughter, I had shared with you last week how she said, Mom, for the first time, I've experienced unconditional love. When she told me that, I mean, it broke my heart, but also made me happy.
Yeah.
That I'm growing and changing. But she thinks it's because I'm working on myself. And I said to her, you know, I've learned to lean into Jesus. I mean, that's what I'm doing, leaning into Jesus, and he's changing me. And I think now they see it's real, because you can go to church, you can take your kids to church, you can do all the right things and lose your children because you're not loving them the way Jesus loved them. Sure. And I guess that's what I've learned.
That's great. Well, as you said a little bit ago, though, it's easy to, not easy, but it's troubling when we go into the past, say, I should have, and why didn't I do that? And Satan loves to camp in the past, doesn't he?
Amen.
And deal with regrets. And so the fact that you can get up every day and say, hey, here's where I am, this is what God's teaching me, and I'm going to move forward and take control of what I can and acknowledge the things I can't and know the difference, that's a powerful thing. It really is.
It is. And my youngest son wasn't talking to me, and now he is, and he's telling me, Mom, I can see you're working on yourself. So I'm just thanking the Lord, and I've turned my posture from asking to just praising Him, because I know that He's going to draw them to Him.
That's great. Joni, I'm glad you're listening. Thank you for starting out the show again today, and very positive story that we can change no matter what age we are, what's going on. We can get up one day, have an aha moment, and say, hey, I'm going to go in a different direction with my life. Good for you. Thank you for listening, and keep listening. All right. Thank you. Joni calling from beautiful Georgia, listening to us there at Intentional Living. If you just joined us, we're talking about emotions today and the power of emotions today. And they are powerful. And I think some of us can overexpress our emotions. We're driven by them. I mean, we all know people who it's difficult to be around because they just are so wired emotionally, you can't even touch a nerve without it going off. But then there's many of us, on the other hand, that are control our emotions, a smile on the face, and we bury that thing. We bury whatever it is, the loneliness, the fear, the anxiety, and it pops up with people that we trust, like our spouse, and then that creates marriage problems. But in public or with other people, it seems nice. On Sunday morning, we'd never hear it at church because that's not appropriate, right? But the reality is a buried emotion is buried alive. It doesn't die, and it just pops up at those times that can be so difficult. And we find that our emotions then start to dictate how we respond. Some of us, come on, we respond emotionally to how we eat. We respond emotionally through our money, how we might spend money, or through our relationships that can impact in negative ways, decisions that we make and what have you. And I've dealt with enough people over the years to know that many of them will come back and later and say, I don't know what I was thinking. Well, you weren't. That's the point. You were emoting, right? The emotion was driving the decision that was being made that can be so destructive in your life. So what can we learn from our emotions? Hey, have them, use them as a fuel to drive us, both you and me, in a healthy direction. Rita's on the line in Kansas. Hi, Rita. Thank you for calling. How are you today?
Hi, Randy. I'm fine. How are you?
Terrific. Tell me about emotions. Good. What have you learned?
Well, lately I've been having really, really deep, in-depth emotions about, and I've been saddened by them and disappointed by them. I think my expectations of children not being concerned about things that I, you know, Mother's Day just went by, and I think I was expecting more than I got, you know, a few texts, some phone calls, and I just didn't concentrate on the good stuff, and, you know, I should just let it go and go on and stay in the Word, because I know God wants me in the Word. He knows I'm valuable, and He knows that, you know, I raised children and I did what I could, and I am loved, even though my children may not call me or text me very often. I get saddened by my emotions, and I tell myself, well, Rita, you just need to start reading more scripture and, you know that God loves you, and, you know, He wants to spend time with you, even though the kids might not, but yeah.
Yeah.
So that's
hey, listen.
Where I am with my emotions right now because of Mother's Day and all that. So,
Rita, you
it's
are
not about me. It's about
you are
God,
you are
you know?
Not alone. You're not alone. There's a lot of moms and parents listening who feel like their kids have moved on. They don't. They in many ways they're busy with their kids and their schooling and their life, and and so the parents sort of get. Well, they get there. If we take the initiative, and that's a question, do you sit and wait, or are you willing to say, hey, if I'm going to have a relationship with them, I've got to pick up the phone, I've got to get in the car, I've got to take the initiative to maintain it?
Yeah. I try. I really do. But sometimes it just, I don't know if they think I'm toxic or what, or they just get too busy. I just, you know, I try. I really do.
Have you ever talked to your kids individually about your relationship in a positive way?
Sometimes they don't want to talk. I mean, I'm estranged from a couple of them. One for about 18 years, so that's a long time. But, you know, I send cards and letters and stuff like that. But I just, and there was a divorce about 20 years ago, too, even though they were adult children. Mm-hmm. I think the divorce kind of split the family, too, and it made it harder. Yeah.
What are you doing, Rita, for yourself, though? What are you doing to move on? I don't mean move on, but I guess get around this in terms of your life.
Oh, right. I'm staying active in my church. But sometimes I feel, though, that I'm suppressing some of my emotions. I mean, I try to be happy for other people. And, I've been going to a lot of church activities. And I have friends that come over once a month. And I stay, pretty outgoing. But I think a lot of people don't realize deep down under there is some sadness there, that's just kind of that I wish I could get rid of. You know, I wish I could put it behind. It's hard to put things behind.
Let me address what you're saying, Rita, because you have every right to feel what you're feeling. And let me just not talk to you for a moment. Let me talk to every kids out there. You got moms and dads who are growing older and picking up the phone, sending a card is great, giving them a call, doing some things just to say, hey, I love you and I care for you, goes a long ways, because parents are people too. Wow, that was a great statement. Write that one down. There's a quotable quote. Parents are people too. You may not believe that, but it's true. Your parents are people too, and they're frail and they're fallen and they're fragile and they're just like any other human being. And so remembering them is important. Secondly, Rita, you have a reason. I mean, if there's a reason to feel ticked off if they're ignoring you on Mother's Day, all right? The question is, and this is the real point of this whole thing on emotions. The emotion itself is not the problem. It's what we do with it. And if you're feeling upset, disappointed, sad, and saying, well, Lord, I shouldn't feel this way. Well, you do. You feel this way, and God understands. The question is, what do you do about it? Do you use it as a fuel to say, okay, I'm feeling sad. I can't change my kids. It's outside my circle of, we talked about this in staff meeting this week. It's outside my circle of control. I can't control how my kids are going to respond, if they're going to call, if they're going to be there and do these things. I expect it, but it ain't happening. And we know expectation minus reality always equals disappointment. It's an intentional living formula, always, on any issue. And so I can use those feelings of disappointment to say, all right, I'm going to pray for my kids. I'm going to reach out to them. I'm going to love them and lower those expectations. If I get a card in the mail and they spelled my name right, I'm going to be happy. I say that sort of tongue in cheek, but that's a reality. But you know what, Rita, and others who are listening, you got people in your church, people in the Sunday school, people in the neighborhood who desperately need a grandma, a grandpa, someone to reach out, care for them, and they'll melt knowing that someone loves them. And so when we're able to do that, to really say, hey, I'm going to get involved in the lives of some people who really need some encouragement. Obviously, my kids don't right now, but I'm going to love them anyway and be there for them and be an influence in their life to the extent that they allow me to do that. That's really coming down to what we talk about, intentional living.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
What is it that matters most to both you and your spouse? Is it helping your kids come to Christ? Is it getting out of debt? Is it solving a problem together? Agreement is the most powerful glue to holding marriages, families, and even business relationships together. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. The Bible's clear. Two cannot walk together unless they be in agreement. Every disagreement has the potential to either strengthen or undermine the most important relationships in your life. To build solid relationships, focus on areas of agreement and extend grace to areas of disagreement. I want to invite you to join me at the Night of Hope, coming to Glendale, Arizona on June the 6th. Jordan St. Cyr will lead us in worship, and I'll share 6 powerful, life-changing one things that will bring you, your marriage, and your family more hope and more peace. Go to theintentionallife.com.
Get those tickets. We're just 3 weeks out from the Night of Hope. Looking forward to it. Glendale, Arizona, Haven Church, June 6th, Friday night. It's going to be a fun night. really practical. I'm looking forward to it. This is going to be some really brand new things we want to talk about your life, about your kids, your marriage, your family, your own personal life. We got a lot of singles coming. We got a lot of married couples coming. This is going to be a night to grow your marriage, your relationship, and understand how you can bring hope alive into those relationships. Get the tickets at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. A great date night experience. It really will be to celebrate your marriage and your family. That'll be great. Buried emotions, buried alive, talking about emotions, powerful topic. Let's keep going here. Angie, you're on the line. How do you handle your emotions?
I just have to take a few minutes. I've struggled with that all of my life, and I've prayed, God, take this from me. Yeah. And I think with time, just wisdom comes, and from making mistakes, too, saying things out of anger that you can't take back.
Yeah, exactly.
And just regretting that and reflecting on it. And, of course, you know, we rely on the Lord to give us strength for this and not say anything when we're emotional.
So how do you do it? I mean, what do you count to 10, walk around the block? What do you do?
I do, yes. I just have to take a few minutes, look at it from different angles, calm myself down, and think about what I really want to say.
Yeah.
And not say anything out of anger or emotion.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's like we often say, the carpenter says, measure twice, cut once, think twice, speak once. Makes a big difference. Very good. Thank you, Angie. Appreciate it. Great insight. We're getting insight from people who are learning about their emotions. Casey, you're next in New Mexico. How are you doing?
I say I'm good because that's the common response, right? But
that's right.
Kind of a rough day and crisis, you know, with just stress of normal life stuff, but dealing with anxiety, depression, and I've been isolated myself because I'm tired of arguing with people and I'm tired of being misunderstood by people, you know, and I try to express myself so that I am understood and making myself vulnerable. And then it seems like the more I reveal to people, the more they do the exact opposite of what I expect from them. And I don't know. Sometimes I do take it personally. But
what do you expect, Casey, when you share with someone? What would you expect? Where's the disappointment?
Well, if I ask you to be considering the way you respond or something, take your time and try to be peaceful, you know, so that we can get along. And you never do that. You always do the exact opposite.
Yeah.
From the moment I've asked you forward, I mean, it becomes really annoying and frustrating, but sometimes I respond peacefully and sometimes I can ignore it, and other times it drives me bonkers.
Yeah.
Really losing my stuff, you know, but
yeah.
And I feel like I'm doing a lot better than in previous years. I really do feel like I'm growing spiritually, but I can't control the response of other people, right? So I plead with the people in my life that are closest to me to treat me in certain ways, and often mm-hmm. I get the exact opposite of what I request from them.
Yeah, and you brought that up a couple times, Casey. I hear a little dissonance in your understanding and your expectation. In other words, I hear you say, I understand that I can expect the person to respond in a certain way, and I understand that that may not happen, but yet I still expect it. And you reference expectation, and we always have the formula here, the expectation minus reality equals disappointment. What do you do with disappointment? You know, disappointment is an emotion. It can be buried or it can be just expressed. I'm disappointed, but here's a key for you, Casey, and everybody listening. You can be disappointed that another person is not meeting your expectation, but you have no control over having them meet your expectation. And when we can acknowledge the fact that how they respond back to me is not anything I have control over, therefore, I'm going to change my expectation. And that's where the battle is. I'm not going to expect them to treat me any differently than they do, because that's who they are. I can't get in their circle of control. That's the way they are. And I think we beat our heads against the wall, kind of figuratively speaking, when we are constantly thinking about a person not meeting our expectation, or I tell somebody what I want and they don't do it. And it's very difficult. And, you know, if you go to a restaurant and every time you go there, you order something and they always bring it the wrong food or it's not done correctly, after a while, you stop going to that restaurant. The problem in a relationship is you come home and you have a spouse or you have your kids and you're married and you're there and an expectation isn't being met. You can change restaurants, but it isn't, hey, every day I'm going to change my wife, change my spouse, change my kids. What I have to do is really focus on the things I can control. I can control my attitude. I can control how I deal with my emotions. I can control what I do. That truly is intentional living. Quick break. All right, don't go away.
The world's changing, and it can feel chaotic. But what if the key to growing through it starts with how we see it?
The very first step, I think, in understanding that we can grow through change is to accept it. It's not a plot against you or against me, but it's just a reality that throughout our lives, we're in a constant state of change.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled Intentionals for Growing Through Change, he highlights 10 ways you can grow through the changes in your life. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
A night of music, laughter, and hope. It's Family Life Radio's Night of Hope, Friday, June 6th, with Dr. Randy Carlson.
You can experience more peace and hope and joy in your relationships, and I'm going to show you how to do that at the Night of Hope.
You'll also hear inspiring music by Jordan St. Cyr.
You've walked me through fire.
Friday, June 6th at Haven Church in Glendale. Sponsored in part by Compassion International. Tickets available at myflr.org.
Listen, I hope you'll be planning to come and be a part of the Night of Hope. It's coming to Glendale, Arizona, the Haven Church on Friday night, June the 6th, as was mentioned. Get your tickets today. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. We're talking about buried emotions, and I have to admit, I think about myself as I was preparing this lesson that I taught with the staff and for today's show, that probably the emotion that I've wrestled with has been more worry. I'm a worry ward. I worry for my kids, my grandkids, I worry for our country. I worry about Donna, my wife, and our home, and just life. And I know it's most of these things are just never going to happen, right? And what happens, though, for me is when I worry, I find myself over-controlling. And I think that happens in many of our emotional points where we can start to try to control things that we don't have control of. And so just acknowledging the fact that, hey, I'm worrying about this. Lord, there's nothing I can do about it. Or if I can, I will. There's something if I can do, I will do. If there's something that I can't do, then I need to back off and say, Lord, this is totally in your hands. I'm trusting you because I know no matter what I do or don't do, ultimately, it's going to be in your hands, the output. And that's really part of the process. But in relationships, I think sometimes with emotions in the closeness of a relationship, we recognize that hurt people tend to hurt people. You know, people that you love that are hurting can hurt you, and that can create emotional challenges in your own life, right? All right, Lauren, welcome to the show today. What's your emotional story?
Just what you just said before you talked to me. That is so true. Hurt people hurt people.
Yeah.
And I went through a depression for about 5 years, and I pushed people away.
So when people try to reach out to you, what would you do? How did you push them away?
I was hurt at church when I was younger, and I took it out all on all of them, and I would just yell at them sometimes, and I'm so sorry for that, and just push them away when they wanted just to help me.
Well, who got through and how?
Well, they just pursued me like God would, and I didn't want anything to do with God, and they still pursued me and showed me God's love, and even through my suicide attempts and everything, they loved me. Hmm. And that's the best thing you can do for anybody, is just show them you love them.
So even though you at the time didn't want them there, they didn't feel your receptivity, they stood there anyway. They loved you anyway.
Yes. Hmm. And they prayed for me. And I'm now back with God, and it's amazing.
Life's going much better, huh?
Yeah. That's... God is amazing, and He loves you, everybody, so much. And just keep on holding on to Him.
Amen. Listen, what lessons we're learning today. Powerful lessons. Thank you, Lauren. And the vulnerability, one of the signs that a person is growing is they're vulnerable. We know that. What are the things we've heard so far? People who are struggling with emotions, they isolate themselves, they step back, they have unrealistic expectations, they push people away. But when we grow, we're vulnerable, we're open, we listen, and we have reasonable expectations. That's part of that process. All right. I think we have just enough time. Joseph, for you, appreciate your call. What have you learned about handling your emotions?
Yeah, the biggest thing I've learned is that you got to step back and realize where the anger is actually coming from. Because, you know, God wants us to be like Him, and He's slow to His anger. So a lot of times that anger isn't from Him. It's, you know, from the enemy. And we really got to realize the effects of that if we, you know, we act foolish in our anger and sin or do something bad or something that we wouldn't want to do. And, you know, how that can impact the future for not only ourselves, but other people involved.
Have you had to deal with this yourself?
Oh, yeah, of course.
And so in the process, what you've said is when you say you look at where it's coming from, in other words, you're trying to find the source of it. What's the trigger for it?
Right.
Yeah. And has that been helpful to you?
It has. It's definitely something, you know, we all got to work on and, you know, come with time and experience through it, but especially with prayer, you know, when you pray about it, God will help you out with it.
That's so true. Joseph, thank you, man. Great wrap for the show. So many didn't get through here, the comments that we have, but I think we've heard from representations all around the country of people who are saying, look, when my emotions get me into the ditch, I tend to pull back, step back, isolate unrealistic expectations. I push people away. I try to control things. And those are sort of symptoms, signs to ask yourself, hey, is that true in my life? Maybe I do have some buried emotions that need to be dealt with in a healthy way. To be more vulnerable, that's part of the process. To talk to someone, to understand the source, and ultimately to know that you're a child of God and the day is a gift. And you can either choose to live in that emotion or you can choose to rise above it for God's glory and your benefit. We got to run. Check out everything that is here for Intentional Living online at theintentionallife.com. See you next time from Intentional Life Media.